Thank you. Antonio, welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. And I want to first off say that today I woke up and I gave a speech at one of my Toastmasters clubs. And as with my show here, what I talked about was spirituality. And I'm going to continue talking about spirituality as long as I can. I'm going to do my 2 cents worth, put in my 2 cents worth, help make the world a better place. Because, don't you know, we've had a lot of war and killing throughout our history here on planet Earth. I mean, just think about it, just to name a few wars, the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Gulf War. There's all kinds of Afghanistan and Iraq, and there's all kinds of wars going on. Well, maybe some we don't know about, but mainly the war in the Gaza Strip and Ukraine. So the time is right always. It's never wrong to talk about spirituality of a real kind, you know. I know some people talk about it being kind of tabooish and esoteric, but oh my God, in this world where there's so much killing, millions and millions and millions and millions of people over the years, throughout the centuries, the way to combat that, the way I look at it, the way to combat that, in my opinion, is to talk about spirituality of a nature like putting water on fire and quenching it. You can't fight fire with fire. It doesn't work. But you know me. You've listened to my previous shows. I talk about near-death experiences, people that have had encounters with God, Jesus, and angels who have been in heaven, who know what heaven looks like, who know that what it's like for their spirit to pop out of their body and look down on it sitting on the operating table or at an accident scene. They know that they are, one, a spirit, and two, a physical body, or the other way around, physical body and a spirit. You all have a spirit. We have a spirit in our bodies. At night, when we sleep, we dream, and our spirit comes out and travels around. It's called the astral body, and it refreshes itself and solves problems. I watched Avatar, the new Avatar movie, last night, and then take a drink. Oh my God, for 3 hours we were very highly entertained. There is so much real stuff in that movie. I mean, yes, it's science fiction, but still, it really, for me, was inspiring to think that there might be another world out there with beings like that engaged in warfare. Again, same thing, like here on planet Earth, you know, war. War is something that seems to follow some civilizations around, but I've told you this before and I'll say it again. It is a characteristic, the war and killing that is, a characteristic of a lower evolved civilization. you won't find war and killing on planets of an advanced civilization of a superior evolutionary category. Here, planet Earth, the beautiful world it is, don't get me wrong, with all this wonderful life everywhere, is unfortunately the lowest on a scale of 1 to 9, a 1, in other words, on the evolutionary scale. Whereas planet of the highest evolutionary category, but number nine is the number of the universe, is a veritable paradise comparable to heaven, that world over there on fire. They say heaven's a world of light, right? Let me see if I can, for those of you who might not believe what I'm saying, who are doubters, I just need a little more proof. I ask you, use your logic to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge. Use your logic. Heaven is a world of light. We can all agree on that. Where is the closest world of light? Now, probably, you would think 93 million miles away, but it's a burning fire, a world on fire. It only provides heat and light. No, incorrect answer. The sun also revolves all the planets around itself with its energy and rotates them on their axis, too. How else do you think it would happen? Automatically, our planet is rotating at 600 miles an hour in the 23.5-degree tilt. It's not doing it on its own. It's under the energy or the influence of the sun, which is the matrix of the solar system. It's also a world where if you look in with the spirit eyes, you'll see a world of spirit matter. And we are spirits. We are spirits in the material world. Right? How many times do I have to say that? No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. Just like the song by the Police, we are spirits in the material world. Yes, your true self, your true being is pure spirit. And when that spirit pops out of the body, just like I was saying, whether in an accident or near-death experience where maybe someone's on the operating table and whatever happened, or if you reach your expiration date, you know, and it's time to leave this body behind permanently, and it happens all the time here on planet Earth, then your spirit will pop out, and it looks just like your physical body. It even has the similar facial characteristics. And it has hair, too. And it has some of the inner workings also, at least to begin with. When you get to the spirit world and you're able to mingle around and get rid of all the last traces of this life, dip yourself in the river of life a few times, drink from its water, mingle and have fun with the citizens of heaven, meet all those people up there that, well, citizens, the same thing, all of them who are, most of them, probably aware of you, each and every one of you, especially your deceased relatives and your ancestry, who, beings that never even heard of, who existed maybe 500,000, 2,000 years or more, all the way down your family tree. You'll get to meet them, not to mention people from all cultures throughout the centuries, the patriarchs of the Bible, the disciples, all the famous people, they're there. It's going to be a great reunion, you know. And the method of communication is telepathy. And like I said, if you put your hands in front of one of your hands, say your left hand in front of your face and look at it, when you become a pure spirit, it will appear translucent and or transparent. And when I say translucent, it will be kind of like, look like a shimmering, all the colors of the rainbow. So you have your form. You definitely have the same form. In other words, humanoid. legs and arms and hands and a head. And you can move around very quickly, either by thought, which is the main thing in heaven, telepathy and thought. And actually, the universe is a giant intelligent thought. Did you know that? I'm going to take a drink. It was created by thought. And here's a secret that, well, not really a secret, but something I bet you didn't know. All matter, all physical matter, at its inception, is nothing more than a powerful thought. Case in point, the superstring theory that most physicists believe in, says that the smallest particles of matter are really nothing more than vibrating ribbons or strings of energy vibrating at a certain frequency. And when they attract each other and begin to coalesce, that's when matter forms. And as I said, and that those ribbons of energy, those strings of energy, it's where they come from your thoughts, my thoughts, all the beings in the universe's thoughts, the creator of the universe's thoughts. You see, we are really kind of like a microcosm of the universe for the creator doing his or her will to create the universe. And even now, as we speak, the borders of infinite space are expanding. Isn't that it's almost incomprehensible to understand infinity and infinite space. But the universe is expanding all the time. And eternity, where there's no beginning and no ending, is also nearly incomprehensible. And so as a spirit, a pure spirit, usually when we get to heaven, most spirits prefer to be an age 30 mold, which means they look neither young nor old. They don't look like a child. They don't look like an old person with missing teeth and wearing glasses. They look like in the prime of their life. And of course, everyone's happy and joyful and laughing, and there's singing and dancing going on, music everywhere, you know, angels singing. And don't forget angels. You've forgotten about angels. By the way, you have an angel. Everyone, every human being, even the homeless person on the street, or even someone like Hitler back in the day. I don't want to name any, shall I say, evil people nowadays, but you know what I mean. Every single human being has at least one angel and one spirit guide to help them, whether or not they accept that help and listen to that intuitive, so to speak, voice that they hear is up to them. And will determine their future life, shall I say, in the afterlife. We are here in this school of learning on planet Earth, in the university of the universe. And indeed, this is, if not the hardest school, one of the most hardest. And we're born into this world. Do you remember when you were born? Why not? Your brain and your eyes were working, right? Then we were made to forget. Yes, we were made to forget where we came from in our pre-existence, before we were born, before we were put in our mother's wombs. Did you know that a spirit and a soul inside a mother can actually look through their eyes sometimes? That's true. And that 9 months that we spent in our mother's wombs, most times, 9 months, we were alive. We were really alive. Even right after conception, when the sperm united with the egg and the embryo began to form, and then after 22 days, a heart began to start beating, and all the body began forming itself, all the muscle and tissue and the brain and the eyes. An amazing, amazing, miraculous process. Oh, my God. I'm going to take a drink. And what can we say other than thank you, Creator, thank you, Mother and Father God. You are awesome. We love you. We're going to worship you forever because you're so worthy of worship on this beautiful planet. Now, we've kind of mistreated this planet. There's pollution in the air and in the water. There's been fighting and killing going on, but we've made a lot of progress. Women nowadays have more rights. They have their equality more, but there's still a long way to go. Before, there was more war and killing, now less and less. No one really wants to see people die. How many Palestinians have died in the Gaza Strip? Probably around 70,000 now. I mean, they're being treated worse than fish, being fished in the ocean, killed. Women and children. And we take it for granted. There's nothing we can do about it. We can pray, and indeed, as God said once, and I've said this before on a previous show, God told Lou Famoso, check that out, that near-death experience. Lou Famoso, F-A-M-O-S-O. Now, that's a name. There's a name you can't forget, right? Who was coming back from Vietnam, who came back from Vietnam, was going to a party on a Saturday night in his brand-new 64 Mustang, going over 100 miles an hour down a bumpy road. And if you know those old Mustangs, they're very front heavy, and he lost control, flipped end over end several times, caught on fire. Oh, please don't be surprised. That kind of thing happens. You know what I'm saying? And he had a gaping head wound, and he had a near-death experience and found himself in heaven, and a beam of light came up to him about twice the height of a regular man. And among other things that he said to Lou Famoso was, man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. Did you get that? Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. So P-R-E-Y versus P-R-A-Y. Yes, when I talk about spirituality, I'm fighting that fire with water, my friends, helping to make the world a better place, helping to make the world a better place. Because all that killing, all that unkindness, I'm fighting it, so to speak, with kindness and spirituality. I'm not talking about religion. Religion is a money-making business. It's a good stepping stone for where you need to get to be in your spiritual life, but are they really concerned about the truth and telling you the truth with so many different religions, whether you're Muslim or you're Christian? They're still going to take your money and tell you this is the way things are, and you don't have any input, and you have to believe it. It's good, like I said, it'll help us to get to where we need to be, but ultimately religion will not satisfy the needs of your spirit. And you have a calling, my friends. Each one of you has a mission to perform. A mission that was handed to you by either the Mother or Father God before you were born in the pre-existence when you were pure spirit. You stood before the Mother or the Father God and were given your mission, whatever it is, to make the world a better place. Very important mission. There's no insignificant mission among all the missions. And it's your job throughout your lifetime to ensure that you fulfill that mission. You just have to find out what it is. You have to think about it. You have to pray on it. You have to deliberate on it. Ask for guidance. God help you. For God to help you perform his, her will in your life so that you can graduate from this existence with honors on the honor roll. This is a school, I'm telling you, with all due respect. Planet Earth is a school in the university of the universe. And as I mentioned also, it is one of the hardest schools in the universe. So many people have died throughout the centuries. An astronomical number of human beings just like us slaughtered, their lives brought to an end, there are ghosts that walk around, people who are just like us, still walking the surface of the earth, even after probably thousands of years, because their lives were ended violently and suddenly. They don't know they're dead. Others went down south, down underneath the surface of the earth, to a place where the really, really bad people go who need some serious rehabilitation. And there's no better way to rehabilitate an evil human being than to having them be tormented by the demons down there. And oh my God, there are some grotesque, horrific, terrible demons in hell that you would not want to look at even for a second. And their main job is to make your life as a pure spirit down there totally miserable. And the way it works is, and these demons have teeth and nails, and they'll rip you apart. But guess what? The body forms again. That's the miraculous thing about the spirit. It has an ability to rejuvenate itself or configure itself. And so, and they do feel pain, too. You can feel pain, serious pain. That pain, it's all part of the senses. You can see, yeah, you can hear also, and you can smell, and you can touch, and so you can have pain. Those demons, and they're grotesque, and they could look like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, malformed Tyrannosaurus Rex, with their eyes with absolutely no mercy in them at all, no, zero mercy. Their job, they were created to perform one mission, that is to tear you apart, so you can feel the pain, your spirit rejuvenates itself, and the process repeats and repeats and repeats until you get the message that you're not meant to be cruel or unkind or vicious or inhumane to anybody. You cannot impose your will on other people. Only God can do that. And I'm talking about the creator of the universe who initiated the Big Bang and whose mission it was for the universe to begin forming itself one solar system at a time until a galaxy was formed with enough solar systems and a new galaxy formed one solar system at a time. And then throughout the billions of years, the Milky Way galaxy eventually formed. And one solar system way down the road was the solar system we live in the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. And here we are, revolving around our sun, which is revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy at thousands of miles an hour in deep space. But guess what? All of this was created by the Creator out of nothing. The object was you as a being of light, as a pure spirit, for you to grow and for the Creator to grow, because we are the children of the Creator. And by us growing, we help the Creator grow by putting us as pure spirits, beings of light, shining with a certain intensity into a material physical world and having us learn from half a day of light and half a day of darkness. Oh, yes, we learn from darkness, my friends. That's why, one of the reasons why this world, if not the main reason why this is such a difficult world to live in, the forces of darkness are powerful. Just like outer space out there, made with dark matter and dark energy. The basic ingredient of darkness is negativity. You gonna take a drink? And so, it's incredible, really, when you think about it. Here we are, on the planet, with a half a day of sunlight and half a day of darkness. Now, that sun over there was created, so that would happen. And we, as spirits of light and souls, which are the brain, is the brain of the spirit, we are born on a sun. Might not be this one in this solar system, for those old souls out there who are well-traveled, who have had many past lives. And so when we're born into this world, we forget all of our past lives. We forget our access to universal knowledge and having our questions answered immediately, whatever questions you have about God and the universe and why you were born. You volunteered to come here, each and every one of you. Not one single person that lives on planet Earth, in my opinion, did not volunteer to come here. Why? Because this is one of the most difficult schools of learning, and so we can increase our light. And I've said this before, I'm going to take a drink. As a pure spirit, you shine with a certain intensity of light, kind of like a light bulb, if you will. So let's say you are thinking of coming to planet Earth, and you shine with a 100-watt light bulb intensity because of all the past lives and the spiritual development that you have achieved and the evolution that you have gained. Maybe you've lived 25 or 30 past lives. And so they say, hey, do you want to go to planet Earth? You'll be born into there. You'll have a family. You can get to pick your family, the friends, accidents you'll have. Your whole life. You can look into the book of life and see everything. It's all there from the beginning to the end. Isn't that amazing? That's what you call predestination. But still, it can change and you can go in a different direction. But either way, you'll get to where you're meant to be. But you can change it through prayer or other people praying for you. So, you're born into the world, in this dark world at times, like it is right now here in San Antonio. And the sun will rise in the morning, and we'll have a half a day of sunlight in a 24-hour day. And you learn all there is to learn while being here. Some people think that it's just to be educated in our school system. Teacher! Leave those kids alone. Just kidding. Hey, kids, kidding. Or then you get a job and you make money and raise children. Well, that is what we have to do, but that's not the main reason you're here. The main reason you're here is to develop yourself spiritually. And again, I'm not talking about religion. The Bible does not say anything about what happens when you pop out of the body as a pure spirit, going down a tunnel, being in that world of light and seeing beings from all cultures here on earth. There's no religion in heaven. Everyone worships the Creator for the miracle ball creation. There is no negativity. There are no shadows, no darkness in heaven. It's a world of light. As spirits, we are beings of light. We're made of electrons, billions of electrons. So we come here to increase the intensity of our light so that hopefully one day when you transition to the afterlife, you will have learned enough spirituality to have increased that 100-watt light bulb soul, because our soul shines with that light in the big beginning, because the Creator of the universe has put an infinitesimal spark of light within our souls. Kind of like when you have a lantern and you light it with a match and it lights, right? And it's burning. And then if you turn the knob, it'll increase the flame and get brighter and brighter and intenser and intenser. That's what we want to do with the soul. In order to do that, we have to learn while we're here. Learn. And not only learn information, but learn from each other and treat each other well. In other words, be loving and respectful and honoring people's dignity and being generous and kind and family-oriented and not killing people, not hurting people, these active shooters. We know that a lot of people have mental health issues. Some lose their temper. Do you lose your temper sometimes? When was the last time you lost your temper? Now take someone who has a mental health issue. It's worse for them, right? Sometimes the only way they know how to handle it is to lash out violently. But only in the United States, most countries around the world, that doesn't happen. It makes you wonder, like in China or Russia, who are our rivals, if you will. Australia just had a bad active shooter incident, you know, which is rare. New Zealand had one way back, and they banned the AR-15, and they haven't had any since then. We won't ban rifles or assault weapons because the NRA has their finger on politicians, if you know what I mean, and has them under their thumb, right? Anybody disagree with that? The NRA, right? So money is actually more valuable than life. And that's not a good thing. The value of life has to increase for us to evolve as human beings. And in order to understand and appreciate and acknowledge the value of life, we have to pray for each other. That's one way to do it. Helping the homeless people out on the street, giving them money, offering to buy them food like my son did the other day. I'm going to take a drink. So if you do increase the intensity of your soul, the light, turn up that flame inside your soul so when you transition to the spirit realms, that 100-watt light bulb soul will now look like a 200-watt light bulb soul. And guess what? When you're in the spirit world or heaven or on the sun there and you're walking around, and there are different ways to travel when you're in the spirit world, even by thought or just pure thought. You want to get from A to B, you just think about B and you're there. Or you could walk in the conventional mode and you can skim along the surface of the world there. Or you can fly. How about that? So it's pure spirit. There are many characteristics of the spirit which most people are unfamiliar with. The Bible does not talk about that. So you see how the Bible, as good a book as it is, and holy in regard to the divine intervention that has happened before in our past, the miracles of Jesus and Moses, still it does not give all the details that we need to further develop ourselves spiritually. And when we get to heaven, we will see that everyone shines with a certain intensity of light. And when you get into the proximity of some very advanced spirits like Jesus or the patriarchs or the disciples or even famous people that have lived on planet Earth, brilliant people, Einstein, Newton, Martin Luther King, American presidents, leaders from other countries around the world, people that have helped with the arts and sciences and music, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, all those people that are there, they're waiting for us. It's going to be a great reunion before you maybe decide to be reincarnated on another planet in the universe to continue your spiritual development. But you'll notice that they shine with a certain light too. And when you get to the throne room and you stand in front of the mother and Father God, which eventually we all will do, which you did before in the past, and you are held accountable for all the things that you did in this life, and you will have a life with you. I'm going to take a drink. then you're going to be judged. But really, ultimately, it will be you that will judge yourself for how well you did. And you'll know what you'll need to do. Worst case scenario, you'll have to come back to a Category 1 planet where there's war and killing. That's usually what happens for suicides. And by the way, if you know someone that has committed suicide, pray for their soul. Are you brave enough? Are you strong enough? Pray for people, especially the ones who are in need. Remember what God said. Man will prey on man until man learns to pray for man. But you have to be strong enough and brave enough to do it. Are you? I suggest to you that usually the more advanced souls, the older souls are the ones that can and are brave enough and strong enough to do that. Going back to being in the presence of the Mother and Father God and Jesus, who died on the cross, their light will be so strong that it will shine over you. It will come over you like a hurricane force wind, so to speak, with its glory and its brilliance. And unless you are sufficiently developed to withstand it, then you'll have to leave or lie prostrate on the floor. But then that's no fun, right? You want to get up and be able to talk to your Mother and Father God. There are beings of light who have developed their life. They've increased their light. And that's what it's all about, the growth of the light. When we get to heaven, everyone's trying to grow their light. Grow your light. I like that. I'm going to take a drink. Grow your light, my friends. Grow your light. By listening to my radio show, you will grow your light. Some people might say, this is too much. I can't handle it. You know, this is too far out in right field. But that's what they said to Jesus, right? When he said, in order for you to find eternal happiness, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. And they said, no, I can't. What does he mean by that? Well, he was speaking in parables in different ways to try to get them to understand, because you have to understand, back then, things were most, I would say, the majority of the souls were of a younger variety, you know. And they weren't really enlightened, so to speak. But back to the Mother, standing in front of the Mother and Father God, I think is the most glorious and wonderfully enlightening experience, and indeed enlightening, where you can behold a being that is so powerful in light and knowledge, and also, I mean, power. The creator of the universe is omnipotent, which means the creator can do anything. The creator has the power to do any single thing, to create something, do something, make something move, make something happen, create something out of nothing. Magic, in other words, a kind of magic, a powerful magic that is really beyond comprehension. And also omniscient, which means the creator knows everything. He knows about you. He, she knows about you, how many hairs you have on your head, how many grains of sand on a beach in New Zealand. But here in the United States, I'm not trying to knock our society down. We've got a good thing going here. From the very beginning, we've been the wellspring of freedom, a beacon of hope to the world, because people come here from everywhere because they want to enjoy that freedom, that happiness that people talk about. And now we're kind of tightening the strings on who can come here and what they can do, and the ones that are already here. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Those migrants that are here, allow them to stay. This is my opinion. I'm going to take a little drink. I mean, excuse me, another drink. We've already sealed off the borders, and that's good. If you want to come in here from now on, you have to go through the legal process, get to the back of the line. Those people, there are people who are waiting to get their citizenship, you know, green card and citizenship. Hold on, please. But don't ruin the lives of the people that are here already. I've already talked with a few that work in restaurants and such, and they're worried about their future. Some don't have paperwork, you know, and I don't want to rat on them, think on them, you know. And they're beautiful people, you know. They're human beings. They're just trying to survive, and they've got a job that doesn't pay that much. Probably don't have any benefits. Some of them don't. And you want to try to deport them back to wherever they came from. And they might have been here for like 10, 15, 20 years or longer. Let them stay. They're living meaningful lives. They're contributing to our society. They're paying taxes. Allow them to stay. But just don't let any more people in. I believe that's true. That's right. That's a good thing. We want to be able to vet the good and get good people to come here, you know, and have them go through the process. Take the citizenship test. I did. I was a Canadian citizen. I was born in Canada. I had a green card to begin with. I joined the Army, because you can join the Army on a green card. And then in 1988, I became a U.S. citizen. And now I feel good about it. There's so many people out there that are being terrorized. They're in fear for what might happen to them. And it shouldn't be that way. We better try to understand that our mother and father God are watching all of this. And if we want our blessings to continue in America, and don't for a second think that they couldn't take away our blessings, when you're dealing with a being who's pretty much omnipotent and omniscient, they can take blessings away in a heartbeat, you know. All the bombing of drug boats. Yes, I know drugs are bad, and they kill a lot of people each year, but no one's putting them down their throats for them, you know. Most of these people are adults, and they're responsible for their actions, you know. If they want to kill themselves with a bottle of tequila by drinking the whole thing, they can. Indeed, a lot of people have drunk themselves to death, you know, and choked on their own vomit or whatever. But drugs, men are not much different than the ones you get in the pharmacy. You know, you can get different drugs in the pharmacy. You know, how different are these ones? Or marijuana, you know. Oh, you can't smoke that leaf, but you can smoke that leaf. Tobacco's fine, but you can't smoke that leaf. Who made that rule up? What was their rationale? I think we have a lot of people who are really biased towards certain things. They say, it's either my way or the highway. And there's no negotiation, no discussion. That's just what I feel, you know. The hell with your freedom. That's what they say, you know. They take away your freedom. Well, we're here to be free. We want to be free. We're evolving. And we need to be free. So do animals. They're evolving, too. Everything's evolving on planet Earth. Even the planet itself is a cosmic being, Mother Gaia. You've heard of that before? I'm going to take another drink. So Avatar was a good movie last night, and I enjoyed just how incredibly well done it was with the special effects and the hidden meanings behind certain things and the love that they show for each other. But again, just another violent, fantasy violent movie, you know. When the real thing happens, oh my God, that brings you back down to reality quickly. Like at Brown University or in Australia, you know, an active shooter, that is reality, not fantasy. And we get too entrenched in fantasy. Yes, we need some relaxation, you know, to go out and see a good movie, but please, Hollywood, give us more movies that deal with real life issues. There's so many subjects out there. So many things to talk about, what people go through on a daily basis. Human beings like me and you, maybe some who have had near-death experiences, with their incredible technology now, they could do a movie that would make them billions of dollars, I can guarantee you, if they did like a movie, a major Hollywood movie on what Betty Eady experienced in her book, Embraced by the Light, which was a New York Times bestseller. They did one, remember, Heaven is for Real, with Colton Burpo and near-death experience he had when he was 3-4 years old. And then they did one for 90 Minutes in Heaven, the guy that had a semi run over his little Ford Escort, and he had a leg, his arm, one of his arms, one of his legs were hanging by a piece of skin. And somebody jumped in his car and prayed for him, and he came back to life. Pretty miraculous. That Ford Escort was flattened. And then one of the tires of the semi ran over his driver's side. And at about 50 miles an hour, which with a combined impact, both cars, it was like close to 100. And it happened so quickly. But then there are other people who have had near-death experiences that they could do a movie on. Or somebody who had an encounter with an angel. Or somebody who was abducted by extraterrestrials. There's a movie called Fire in the Sky, Travis Walton. I talked about him before. I'm going to take another drink. Snowflake, Arizona, 1975. Him and six other loggers were clearing a portion of the forest near Snowflake to help with the soil. And so they were on a contract. They had a foreman. They had a hard day of, you know, chainsawing down trees and stacking them. They hopped in the truck. At the end of the day, it was starting to get dark, and they head down a dirt road going back home. They came around the corner, and there was a light that they could see over in the forest. And as they came up to it and came around the bend, there, hovering above the ground, was a flying saucer about 20 feet above the ground and not making any noise. This is a very beautiful spacecraft. I mean, beautiful. When you, one of them said, it really was beautiful. And so Travis Walton jumped out of the truck and went out underneath it, take a closer look at it. But to make a long story short, what he didn't realize was he stepped into its electromagnetic field, which was connecting with the Earth to keep it floating there. And that's what they do with their propulsion systems. They're able to utilize the electromagnetic energy of the Earth to either go up or down or left and right. When they get into outer space, then they warp the fabric of space and are able to travel very quickly in any direction by doing that. But while they're within the atmosphere of the Earth and maybe close to the ground, that's what they do. Their propulsion systems are kind of like magnets. They either repel or attract, and it perforates the entire circumference of the spaceship itself. And by pointing their controls in one direction or another, that's how they're able to make it go up and down or to the left or to the right. Anyway, Travis Walton was thrown to the ground and presumed to be dead. They took off down the road because they probably thought, well, they had a weapon and they might use it against them. So then after getting about a quarter mile down the road, they realized they'd left Travis behind, and the foreman, Mike Rogers, was his best friend. They turned around and went back, but he was gone. What had happened was the ETs, knowing that they'd almost, I mean, it was kind of partly their fault, they beamed him on board and they were trying to help him to get better because he had been burned. He had been electrocuted, simply been electrocuted. And he was badly burned on the inside. So these beings, about 5 feet tall, big head, big dark brown eyes, you know, kind of whitey, chalkish skin, wearing uniforms from I don't know what galaxy or planet out there. But anyway, 5 days later, they put him back down on the ground at nighttime outside a suburb of Snowflake, and he was able to get up and walk into the town at nighttime. There was no one there, but he got into a phone booth. They had phone booths back then, and called his brother, and they came and picked him up. And afterwards, I'll cut the story out by saying that both Travis and all the other loggers took multiple lie detector tests. I'm going to take a drink. And they all passed them. Multiple lie detector tests. The same ones that they give people who have been convicted of a serious crime and ultimately sent to jail. Not sure about being executed, you know, like the death penalty, but these lie detector tests are considered as viable evidence in a court of law. And that is evidence we cannot ignore as rational, logical human beings. Now, some people might not be that way, and they're free not to be logical or rational. Some people always take the opposite stance. Anyway, how am I doing on time? Just got a few more minutes. 5 minutes, thank you. Well, my friends, here's one final thought before Christmas. Just to give you some hope that, yes, we are being monitored by an extraterrestrial civilization, more than one, that they're out there, and they're watching over us, and they're protecting us, and they're guiding us. There's a plan that has been in place for quite some time now, throughout the centuries. That divine intervention that you heard about, that you know about from the Bible, pretty simply, if you believe me, is because of them and their assistance, if you will, in certain situations, without going into the details. But I will give you one example as a Christmas present to you, and I'll tell you the truth with this. The Star of Bethlehem was an extraterrestrial probe that was rendered luminous because that was part of the plan. Even the artificial insemination of Mother Mary. I gotta take another drink. And it goes on and on and on. But the extraterrestrial probe, which was rendered luminous, to hover above the ground, maybe about 300-400 feet above the ground, and shine a light directly down on the manger, was an extraterrestrial probe, not a star, not a heavenly body, because heavenly bodies are constantly in motion. And this object stayed where it was, over the manger where Jesus was born, the baby Jesus, for I don't know how long, maybe quite a few days, shone that light down. Everyone saw it back then. It looked like a star, but it was really a probe. I would say approximately maybe 10 feet in diameter, which was shining, but it also shone a light down on the manger. And that was the beginning of the great plan they had for Jesus to save the world, because indeed the world needed to be saved back then. There was so much evil, if you will, going on at the time, murder, you name it, war, killing, and they wouldn't have survived if Jesus hadn't showed up, and we wouldn't be here today. In other words, if it wasn't for Jesus. Part of that plan was that extraterrestrial probe, the Star of Bethlehem, to shine the light on the manger down below, to let the people know that something very special had happened, something beyond their comprehension, and even after all these centuries, 2,000 plus years down the road, the legend of Jesus and what happened with him continues on today and is getting stronger and stronger. And I wish you a Merry Christmas, my friends. Thank you for listening. May you enjoy this most wonderful time of the year. Continue to pray. Remember, man will pray on man until man learns to pray for man. You better believe it. I'll be here next week, God willing, and I hope you will too. Lots of love to you and your family, my fellow human beings. Please enjoy yourself, and I'll talk to you next week.